the Richmond Theater Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theater with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Act 1, Scene 6 of Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
Today we're going to look at Green Day's American Idiot and Mr. Burns at Theater Lab. And we have an interview with Joe Pabst, who's directing Spamalot at Dogwood Dell.
Based on the 2004 album by Green Day, American Idiot tells a story of three disillusioned men who yearn for the big city. This tale of love, addiction, and war is currently playing at the Firehouse Theater.
And I just want to say it played on my CD player back in those days. It was a big, heavy rotation in my playlist, and I loved the music, and I loved this production.
I did, too. I thought it was a really lively show, a lot of energy. It had excellent choreography by Kate Bellman and great cast, though I thought it lacked kind of a sense of outrage. I thought
they were
all
a little happy.
Yeah, they're a little happy for, you know, talking about war and death and all these things. I thought the musical direction was really interesting by Matt Kuhn. They have the actors playing all the instruments. Normally you have like a pit orchestra playing
right.
These parts.
Sure.
But the problem with that I had at least, is I thought the guitar sounded really anemic. You know, when they hit the solos, you couldn't really hear them. A couple effects pedals or volume pedals that could have fixed that entirely.
I agree. I think my only real complaint with the show, I thought it was a theatrical tour de force. I thought the lighting was very effective by Andrew Bonnewell. I thought Adam Ferguson, unless they did a beautiful job of directing it. It kicked ass from the beginning, and it was exuberant and youthful throughout the whole thing. But my one complaint was it sounded like they had a house PA as opposed to a real rock and roll PA system, and it never really got balls out like it needed to get.
Agreed. It needed to probably be about three times as loud as they got. But again, I thought it had a lot of energy, a lot of heart.
Some very touching moments in it, some beautiful moments.
Yeah. I thought it was a very affecting show.
You know, one thing about this show, obviously that some parts were considered more leads than others, but I thought it was a really strong ensemble. I thought everybody worked really well together. They felt like a unit. And I think that was another strength of the show.
Agreed. And I thought she kind of got a little bit overlooked perhaps in some of the reviews, but Rachel Hinman as St. Jimmy, I thought had a lot of energy.
Right.
Running around all over the place. I thought she was a standout too. I also thought that the video backgrounds by Jenna Mannix were particularly strong. You know, it kind of put you in that sense of place. You saw George Bush and the towers. And,
right.
They had some war footage from the war in Iraq. And yeah, I thought that was particularly effective.
One last thing on that production. I talked to several people who were not Green Day fans or even punk fans, and they were really moved by the show, too. They really got it. So I think that was exciting that it transcended that punk rock crowd. So basically, we really enjoyed the show. It's been extended through August 13th, which is good news for them because they got a little bit of a stutter at the beginning there when they had to change out a lead role. So hopefully more people will have a chance to see it, and maybe they'll even recoup some money back on it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Mr. Burns, shall we? The full title is Mr. Burns, A Post-Electric Play. It's at Theater Lab through August 5th. A group of apocalypse survivors sit around a fire trying to remember an episode from The Simpsons. And in Act 2, suddenly they become a troupe of traveling players. And in the final act, their production has become an overblown theatrical musical. I thought this play started out really interestingly. It was interesting all the way through. I thought the first act was kind of fun, and we were trying to piece the pieces together. And then all of a sudden, it got very heavy, which was masterfully done by the director and the cast. The second act things started to get a little confusing, but it was still interesting. By the third act, I got a little tired of the classic Greek theater thing that just I felt went on a little too long. One interesting thing that everybody's talked about is at intermission, the entire audience was cleared and they rearranged the staging in the room. So the first act, it was in the round. The second act, it was in thrust. And the third act, it was a proscenium style. And that was a bold vision concept from DJ Gray, the director. And I think he put the show together with an outstanding ensemble. They handled the moods and the styles very well.
I absolutely loved it. It's weird to have a show that runs on so many different levels. It's low culture, The Simpsons, and it's high culture, and kind of this mashing of the two. I thought they did an excellent job with the entire ensemble, DJ Gray's direction. It's the kind of show that you watch and you leave the theater like just talking and thinking about for a long time.
I think it was more like thinking about what? What have I just seen?
Well, I mean, what I got out of it was, you know, how storytelling and myth, how it changes over time, how through the oral tradition a story can evolve. And by the final act, the story of Bart Simpson is a classic hero tale in the Joseph Campbell sense. I mean, his story becomes a story of a people living without power, which is the tale of the people in the play. They're now without power, and so the bad guy becomes Mr. Burns, the owner of the power plant. I thought it was brilliant. I thought Dan Simo in the final act as Mr. Burns and Jesse Johnson as Bart Simpson were stellar, and the rest of the cast was excellent too.
They were. They both sang beautifully. Jesse Johnson, of course, is one of the best singers in town, and she did a great job in in the second and the third act with her stuff. I kind of compared it, and I think we talked about this earlier, to theater of the absurd, and the fact that it doesn't really always matter what's happening. You just sit back and listen to the language and just watch what's happening and enjoy it on a more form level than a content level. And I kind of felt that it was, to me, a little bit, even though it was beautifully performed and well staged, it was a little bit unfulfilling because I came out of it going, huh?
Well, I didn't think it was theater of the absurd at all. I think it's conceptual, but I thought that the themes and kind of what it was trying to say about how storytelling and entertainment and theater evolve and kind of their place in our lives and kind of what they can mean, I took away a great deal from it.
Well, I'm not saying, I guess, that theater of the absurd can't have a meaning, because obviously there's meaning and there are things to be discussed in it, but I think just in the way it was approached and the way it didn't really make a lot of sense if you tried to logically figure out what happened, because there were moments in the show at the end of the first act and the second act, I'm like, wait a minute, it just stopped. There was no conclusion. You didn't feel like you had seen the end of the act. It just suddenly stopped and you were ushered outside so they could change the set. And then the second act started 7 years later and then 75 years later.
Even then, I don't think it's theory of the absurd.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
But go see it. It's an amazing show.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage people to go see it. I think Theater Lab is known for doing stuff that's kind of edgy and unusual and interesting. And they took a big chance on this show and I think it paid off for them.
I think that this is just, you know, one last show and an excellent season. I think pretty much everything else I've seen this year from them has been really, really strong.
Good point. The Festival of Arts at Dogwood Dell is presenting the area premiere of Spamalot, the Monty Python musical, this weekend, July 29th and 30th, and again, August 5th and 6th. Director Joe Pabst is a well-known actor and sometimes director in Richmond, and he's helming this production. I got a chance to ask him a few questions. So, Joe, why was Spamalot chosen?
Well, this is the 60th anniversary of the Festival of the Arts at Dogwood Dell. So we wanted to do something very special that would get people excited to do the show and also to come see it as well. Monty Python's Spamalot was one that the entire production team was thrilled with.
What were some of the challenges to staging the show at the Dell?
Well, there are always creative challenges anytime you do a show that's based on material that's so well known, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You'll hear a lot of familiar lines like, "You're using coconuts," and "I'm not dead yet," and "It's only a flesh wound." There are a lot of technical challenges to doing the show. How do we make the Black Knight's limbs fall off? How do we create a large wooden rabbit? And where are we going to get a cow? And we've come up with some pretty cool ways to address all those things. I'm not going to give anything away, though. You just have to come see it.
Oh, Joe, you're such a tease. So what are some of the things you've done differently with the show?
We've done some creative casting to give more people opportunities to shine. You know, Monty Python was known for putting men in women's roles, so we're expanding that a bit and putting women in some roles traditionally played by men. We've also added some local references to add to the humor of the show.
What's been the most fun about directing Spamalot?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the movie, and I love the humor that's already in the script. But I have to say, the musical numbers are pushing it over the top. Thanks to Ben Miller, our music director, the cast sounds amazing. And our choreographer, Asa Rain, has created spectacular dance numbers that are really hilarious. Honestly, we laugh from the beginning of rehearsal to the end. While the script has been slightly modified for all audiences, the irreverent and hysterical humor of the movie is all there. I mean, there's nothing like seeing a musical at the Dell, you know, out in the open, under the stars, weather permitting, of course. And I know audiences are going to be delighted with Spamalot.
Well, I'll see for myself next weekend. Thank you, Joe, and break a leg. We'll be taking the month of August off with the folks of Open Source RVA, but we'll be back in September and want to answer some of your questions. So if you have questions for the critics on what we do or how we do it, please email me, tvjerry@tvjerry.com, and we'll have those on in September.
You've been listening to Curtain Call on Open Source RVA. I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And I'm Jerry Williams with Sifter. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, go to the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website, rtccva.com.